Fine. So to summarize where we had left off last week. So again, we had seen the Gemara in Erechin, which had put several limitations on Tochacha. One was, you know, you don't have to continue after the person starts beating you or cursing you or machloket like that. Mm-hmm. The other was the recognition that not everybody is capable of giving tochacha, not everyone is capable of receiving tochacha. Now, we don't know from that whether there's a mitzvah to receive tochacha or this is just a pragmatic statement. We also don't know that, yes, it's true that not everybody knows how to give tochacha, but from that Gemara, we don't know whether you don't have to give tochacha if you're bad at it or just, you know, get better at it. Learn how to give tochacha. No, maybe go to a tochacha school for a little bit. I don't know. Go to
social cues class. Degree we
go to so what? Yes, exactly. Social cues class. Yeah, okay.
No, we definitely do a lot of people.
Now, the Gemara, then we saw that the Gemara in Yevamo upgrades this and says, no. Kishem shemitzva al adam lomar davar hanishma, kach mitzva al adam shalolom nar davar sheino nishma. Just like it's a mitzvah to say that which will be heard, it's a mitzvah to not say that which won't be heard. Right? So it's not just descriptive that some people don't want to give mussar. It's if you don't know how to give mussar, the person is going to accept it. That's the situation. You shouldn't say it. And the Gemara then quotes Rabbi Abba Omer Chova. The problem, as he noted, is twofold. One, the Gemara says that you have to keep doing it until they smack you. So isn't that something that's eino nishma? That's not going to be heard and accepted if you say you're chayav to keep doing it until, right? Because we said there's two possible ways of thinking about tochacha. One is you're obligated to say it because you're trying to stop them from sinning. The other is you have to protest. You can't.
Right. Like you cannot allow it. You cannot allow it.
Or at least you can't be seen as being okay with it.
Right.
There's, those are different.
Right.
Right? Right. No, meaning no one way of saying, right. There's, one is saying I have to stop it from happening. That's a very large, that's a very,
like, I don't know, it's,
right. That's very extreme. But the Mark Clay says you don't have to because if the guy hits you, you're done.
Right.
Right. But it could be that you have to say something simply.
Wait,
because,
does it have to be he smacks you or he threatens to smack you?
We can wonder, right? It's odd chicken, it was odd bachlar, odd bachlar.
I feel like the point where someone's like, I swear if you don't stop, I will hit you. He's not listening. Like,
right. Now, the other problem, and this is where we left off, with the Gemara in Shabbat. The Gemara in Shabbat, Nunhe, says as follows. Amarle, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Simon. Lochinu, mar lahani de beresh kaluta. So Rabbi Zeira told Rabbi Simon, listen, I need you to give Musar to the family members of the Resh Kaluta, because they're doing things that are wrong. Amar le, lo mikal boi minoi. He says, but they're not going to listen to me. Amar le, avagav de lo mikal le, lochen umar. Even though they're not going to listen to you, you have to give them tochacha. Right? This is a problem, right? De amar biacha bar chanina. Me olam yatsa mi de tova mi biacha lishbaru chazar bar lara, chutz mi davar zeh. Because Riacha bar Chanina says that it never happened that God had committed to doing something good and then retracted, except for one exception. Namely, Dichtiv by Yomer Hashem Elav, B'toch Ha'ir, B'toch Yerushalayim, B'divi D'tav al Mitzchot HaNashim, Anen Achim, Anen Akim, Al Tol Do'ivar HaNazot B'toch Ha. So the Pasuk says, in Yechezkel, right, go out and put a mark, right, a letter on the heads of these people. And the Gemara understands what is going on. Amar le'akadosh baruch hu le'gavriel, leich rishom ha'mitzchon shel tzadikim tav shel dyo. Write a protective letter on the heads of the tzadikim before I destroy Yerushalayim. Shel yishlutu bahem malachei chavala. So that the angels of destruction don't destroy them. Ha'mitzcham shel rishayim tav shel dyo shel dam. And put a letter, or a tav. Of blood on the heads of the Rishayim so that the angels of destruction know who to target.
What does that mean? Is that literal? Is that literal?
What?
Is that literal?
I don't know whether it's literal, but probably not. Yes, clearly there's Makabachorot imagery going on in this.
Wow.
So, but now the Gemara, but what's more important is the way the Gemara characterizes. So, Amra Midat Adin Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God's justice, like God's justice said to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Ma Nishtanu Elu Me'elu. What's the difference between these people? Why are you saving these people and killing the others? Amar Lei, what do you mean? Halalu Tzadikim. Vehalalu Rishayim Gemurim. Tzadikim Gemurim, Halalu Rishayim. These are perfect Tzadikim and these are perfectly wicked people. That's not a difference. You don't see a difference? Amra Lefanav. So the Midat Hadin, whatever that means, right? The personified attribute of justice said to God, Ribono Shel Olam. Haya biadam limchot velo micho. They could have protested, and they didn't. Amar la, God said to his attribute of justice, Galoi v'yadua lefanai, shemichu bahem lo yikablu mehem. But I know they're not going to listen. So why should they protest? Amar lefanav, he said, Ribono shel olam, im lefanecha galoi, you might know that the people weren't going to listen. Lahem migaloi? But the tzaddikim didn't know in advance that they wouldn't respond, they wouldn't listen, and God agreed. And then it proves that God didn't end up protecting even the tzaddikim. So what's the problem? What's the obvious problem? Very good. The obvious problem is that the Gemara in Yevamot, as a normative statement, said it is a mitzvah or a chova not to say something won't be heard. The Gemara in Shabbat says they were punished as Rishayim, even though they were tzaddikim for not saying something. Even though God himself knew that they wouldn't listen. And what is the Gemara's answer to this? Gemara says, yeah, but they didn't know that they wouldn't listen. So what would be the implication of that, Gemara? That you, Lomaisa, that...
Or that you have to. You just have to... You have
so
to
one possibility is you always have to, because only if you knew they wouldn't listen, then you wouldn't... Then it would be a mitzvah, but you can never know.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that doesn't seem to make sense, because the Gemara in Yevamot is a normative statement, which implies you can't say it's a mitzvah or a chova not to say something and then say, but you're never going to know.
So
that can't be
say,
right? It's normative. So you have to soften something, right? So you could say that it's only a mitzvah or a chiyuv to say something, not say something if you know for sure they're not going to listen. But if there's any chance, then you have, right? You could say that, right? That's one possibility. Right, or any other probability cheshbon you want to come up with, right, is to say that there is a line at which you have to risk it. But at first glance, the Gemara is very much in tension, and that's what the Milkei Yosef says. The Milkei says, "What are you talking about?" The Gemara in he says, "I have two questions now." The Gemara in Erchen said that you should give tocha to someone until they hit you or curse you, which implies that you keep giving mussar even if they're not listening, or at least it's vanity, right? If you have to keep going until either they actually hit you or you see they're about to hit you, that implies at least that at this point, the chances they're going to listen are very, very low.
State of mind, or if it's the actual action.
Correct, but right, we could distinguish and say, right? But the second problem is the Gemara and Shabbat. So he says, okay. So the first answer, he says, there's a difference. The difference with Gemara in Erchin and Yevamot, he says, is Hatam Biachid Aval Birabim Lo. First thing he says is that by individuals, you have to risk it until they smack you, but not
groups.
Tzibor. Right there, by Tzibor, you started this, that the Tzibor. You stop earlier. Now, what's the problem? The Gemara in Shabbat, and this is what we're up to. The Gemara in Shabbat is about a group. It's the family of the Reis Galuta. It's all the Jewish people who are sitting in Yerushalayim. And there the Gemara says, no, unless you knew from God that they won't listen, you have to go ahead. It seems vanishingly unlikely that they would listen. In fact, we know that God knows they won't listen. But The Gemara accepts the argument that these otherwise righteous people deserve to be destroyed because they didn't say something to people that God actually knew wouldn't listen. Which means that they at least knew that it was very unlikely they would listen. Meaning it wasn't like they thought it was a 95% chance they would listen and God knew it was a 0%. It's probably like they thought it was, what, a 5% and God knew it was 0?
We also know that God will help
them
give the even if God knows that.
Yeah. So he says, so what are you supposed to do with this? So he says, aha, you have to qualify our Gemara and say, Hata mushaluchim klal. We have to distinguish between not saying anything. He said, you have to say something once, for two reasons. One is the implication of the Gemara in Shabbat, which is, you never know. God might know, but you never know. So once you have to say something, meaning an individual, right, let's construct what he's saying. An individual, he thinks you have to keep going until he's ready to hit you or curse you or actually hits you or curses you. At Seber, you don't have to go that far. But you need to say something once. But then he has Tzvei Dinim. He says there's two svar why you need to say something. What does he say? Again, one is Ula Yishmi'u. One is they might listen. The other is Sholitin Lem Pidchan Peh. So don't give them an excuse that they didn't know better. Remember what I said there at Tzvei Dinim in Tochacha? One is you're actually attempting to prevent them from sinning. The other is you need to say something. And you could distinguish. Why do you need to say something? Either because you're chayev to express your opposition or... Right? Nehuka Yosef is now given like a slightly different explanation, which is it needs to be out there in the world. So the people don't have excuses. It may not work, but at least...
There needs to be a force.
It needs to be that... Right, no one can say I didn't. No, you can't let people get away with saying the only reason I didn't do the right thing is I didn't know what the right thing was. Even if you know they're not going to listen, you can't let people have an excuse. There has to be a moral clarity in the world, and at least once you need to do it. So the Nimuka Yosef's construction is like this: if it's vanishingly unlikely that someone is going to do it, but he's qualifying the Gemara and Yevamah in very important ways because the Gemara says don't say anything. It's a mitzvah or a chova not to say something you won't be listened to. But what does he say? But you never know. So it can't mean don't say anything because you can never really know. That's what he learns the Gemara in Shabbat. So what he concludes is say the bare minimum. Because A, you never know. Now, if the second you say it, they, go to the angry mob who is about to... lynch someone else, well, presumably not you, and you say, don't do it, and they say, okay, we'll lynch you, right? You speak once and then you run, right? That's what he's saying. Because A, you never know, maybe they won't lynch him, and someone needs to have set the moral record straight.
Right, but could, in that situation, I feel like I would just not say anything because they would for sure kill me.
Right, okay, so maybe lynching is a bad example. They're about to loot, okay? There's a blackout, there's a citywide blackout for 48 hours.
Well, that actually happened. Like,
I know. I'm
very close to me. Like right near Philly. Like it happened. Basically, well, I mean,
where are you from again?
Philly.
Where Philly?
Like Balakin. I'm right outside the city.
Okay.
I have a block right outside the city. It's so, like 15 minutes.
Balakin, okay.
Yeah, so like 15 minutes for me, like in the city, like one night, a bunch of people just decided to like rob tons of stuff. Like a crazy loot, like recently. Like it was like a very big thing. I don't know.
Which show do you go to?
Lower Marion.
You got a LMS?
Yeah.
How much you live right next to my cousin?
No. What? You mean Romanowski? No, they lived in Cherry Hill. No, they lived very far away.
Okay.
I went to the same middle school as Andrew. And high school as Kobe. But yeah.
Kobe. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I know. Fully sharked out.
Oh, so
I know so much.
What? Okay, right, but that's right. So Zemuga Yosef solves this by setting up this. Now there's one more Gemara that we need to look for, and this is probably the guy, the one that complicates it the most. La Lacha is the following. Gemara says in Beitza, Tznan, Ein Mitapchin, Ve Ein Misapkin, Vein Miraktin. Everyone's favorite Gemara, right? Don't clap and dance on Shabbos. Everyone knows that, right?
You can't clap and dance on what?
On Shabbos.
You can't clap? You can't clap and dance.
On Shabbos.
Why can't I dance?
On Shabbos?
Yeah.
Because it's a Gzera, that you might fix instruments.
But, really?
But it, yes.
Are you serious? I can't dance and I can't just be like...
That's the issue with the Masorah.
I can't do this?
That's not dancing.
If I'm like...
Poskim generally assume that it requires lifting the feet off the ground in more than like a tefach.
It's so funny. Like
like a big dance.
A dance.
Oh.
What? I don't think this is what they meant.
Because the rabbi, like, the rabbi...
This is... break dancing?
No.
I can't break... Why not? Because I might come to pick
so, okay, so Tosfot says, nowadays what? You can clap because we don't fix instruments, but... Okay.
It's very funny because on camp, like everybody's like they're running around in circles, right, dancing, and like the rabbi is just, like both feet on the floor. Like,
yes, of course. So the Gemara says ve'ha'idna. Okay, the Gemara says ve'ha'idna, but nowadays the chazinan the avdin nachi. We see people do this. The lo amrinan lo blo mide, and we say nothing to them. Amar lei, and he says, okay, according to you, that you're so obsessed with telling people they're doing things wrong. Hadamar Rabba. That was Rabba said. Lo le divinu shapuma delechaya dilma magdele chayfetz vaati laatuye. So Rabba said that you shouldn't sit at the exactly by the lechi of a mavui, right at the very edge at the you know of the eruv basically because something might fall out like you know fall out of your hands and then you'll end up pulling it back in. So you know. Bad to sit on the border. Yeah. V'ha'ani nashe d'shaklon chatzvayu v'azlon v'yatvan apuma d'mivoa v'lo amrinan lehu v'lo mide. And we see these women who...
It's always women.
What?
It's always women.
I mean, it's not always, but in this case, it is. What? This isn't dancing. This is that we see that... What? No, this one is women. The second F is women, right? Is that we see women who sit, right? Who do exactly this, that they sit on the, they take their chatzvayu, they take their jugs, and they sit by the entrance of the alleyway. So why don't you say something? He says, Ella... Hanoch lem Yisrael, leave them alone. Leave the Jews alone. Mutav shiu shogigin valyu mizide. It's better that they should continue to sin accidentally than is intentional sinners.
Yeah, there's a thing I saw.
What does that mean? Wait, just parse that line. Yeah, what does that mean?
So, no, I saw another thing.
It's not just they're going to listen. What is lot not nishma mean here?
Okay. So it's better that because if you tell them and they're like, oh, I know I'm sinning, but they're still going to continue to do it. So it's better that they're accidentally sinning, but they don't know
correct.
They're sinning, rather than I'm going to intentionally keep sinning.
Very good. Now, what does this do to Tochacha? What?
So I saw another thing.
But what does this do to Tochacha?
Well, it kind of messes with Tochacha because then it kind of says,
yeah,
well, you can't keep Tochacha because
right?
Meaning, because then it's better for them to accidentally sin rather than
exactly. Like, what are you going to tell me? Right, right. But so, what if you're misupak? Okay, good.
What's
but now, what if you're not sure? What if you're not sure they're going to listen? So now what? Right. So, Graber, what do you say? According to this, so we've now had several things. We said, okay, if you know, you always have to say something once. But here, it's clear that you're saying something zero times.
Right.
Right, the Nemuka Yosef, until this point, had concluded that even when it says don't say something, it means don't say something multiple times. But you can never, under any circumstances, not say anything at all because it needs to be out there in the world. But now the Gemara introduces a new principle,
whereas
which is says...
you might as well say nothing because then they'll...
Not just Matt may as well. You have to say nothing.
Right.
So someone tell me, what? Wait a second. According to this, you're saying zero. Clearly zero, because you said it once. They already know it's mazed. So what's
Okay, so
good. So give me a distinction.
So here's the distinction. So okay, so I think Tocha in the first place is talking about someone who's blatantly sinning. Like
very good. So the easiest, the first initial distinction is the key is that
they know they're sinning, intentionally sinning.
Exactly. Is people are intentionally sinning, so you have to say something. Here they don't. Now, so that's clearly the main distinction is that they're accidentally sinning.
Right.
However. But now, once you say that, now you're going to ask. So what does that mean? If someone's accidentally sinning, so clearly there is a circumstance in which it's a mitzvah to say zero. Not one, but zero to prevent them from being mazed.
Right.
But now you need to ask. There's a wide range that you could say of that. You could say, unless I'm 100% sure they're going to listen, then it's not worth risking it and let them say shogun.
Right.
But if it's even 90%, even I was 99% sure that they would listen,
right, so there's like a
I shouldn't say something. At the opposite extreme, I could say, it's only here if I have a 0% chance that I don't say anything and not once. But if I had even 5% chance they would listen,
then they have to slap me.
I should say something, right? Or you could say, well, maybe it depends. If I have a 30% chance they're going to listen, so then it's worth risking them sinning b'mezid if the alternative is a 30% chance they won't sin at all.
Right.
Right? You got to figure out what's the number. Because clearly there is a case in which you should say zero. But it can't be, right? But it can't be, because I remember once talking to an educator who said she taught in, like, pluralistic schools, right, where most of the school is not
religious.
But she taught halacha, Jewish law. And she said she felt terrible because at some level she said, am I just violating Hanach and Israel
right.
all day?
Right.
Until now they're legitimate shogeg. They come to my class and become mazid because they're not going to listen.
Right.
Right? 90 not. But there is always that one kid who's a little bit more traditional who becomes from in the school. So now are you going to tell me that all education is usher? Right? Hanach Lam Yisrael is not allowed to say that no one should ever be allowed to go to yeshiva. Why? Because before you came to yeshiva, you were all idiots and knew nothing. Right?
So now
you come and you've learned like a few more halachot. Now there's a few more things you can do. Amazing. Right? Like, right? Right? It's like all the people who come into yeshiva and like, you know, whatever. They're a little legitimate serum that they don't know about. Right? So they were proper shogigs. So you're telling me that I'm not allowed to educate? Right? There has to be a limit. Because Hanach Lam Yisrael, if you take it to its extreme, is the argument of why we shouldn't educate anybody ever.
Here's the distinction.
Right? Don't educate any, because I'll make a very simple argument. Most people will not be able to never sin.
Why don't they anyone?
I understand. That's my point. Therefore, you shouldn't educate anyone, because presumably there's at least some isser that they didn't know about. You will tell them about. Clearly, that can't be it. So
the distinction is that it's something where you know that the person they don't know about it, but you know for sure if you tell them, they'll definitely be over it. Like, they'll definitely do it.
So you tell. So if
but meaning, watch. Like, let's say you don't know about.
So
like,
are you telling me that if I have a class of 30 high school kids who don't know, or no one's ever explicitly told them you can't text on Shabbos, right? Without getting into why it's us or whatever. I shouldn't say it because I know statistically the chances that all 30 of them are now going to listen to me are vanishingly low.
Right, right.
Okay, I shouldn't teach halacha.
Right. That's
but obviously, they can't. There has to be a limit to this. Right. Now, the Gemara. Right. Now, the Gemara says, Vahani Mile Midirabana. So the Gemara says, guys, the Gemara tries to put one limitation on this, which is this is only true of Dirabanans.
Oh, but
Dirabanans. Avo Bidaraita low. Havamina is. Only by Dirabanans. What would the Havamina be? Why would it only by Dirabanans you should let them violate Bishogi, but not by...
Oh, because they might not be educated. Like,
so?
Oh, actually, no, that's stupid.
So it could be that it's just less Chamor, right? It could also be, if you follow the Nesivos said that the nature of Issa Dirabanan is to rebel against Chazal, right? Each Issa is not formally Usser, it's you have to listen to Chazal and Chazal.
Right.
Exactly. But it's not Magad Martis. He says the nature of the Isser. But therefore he says. So he says that if you violated Dirabana Meshogi, you don't even need Kapara because you didn't rebel.
Right.
So it could be that maybe only by Dirabana you say, listen, if they're not going to listen, so
they're
now.
They're rebelling, don't make them rebel.
Exactly. But Daraita, you'll say, it's objectively Usser, so you have to try to stop them. And the Gemara says, that would be a very nice Svarik. So the Gemara says, Velohi, it's wrong. Lo Shnabi Daraita, Lo Shnabi Dirabana. Lo amrinim lo lomidi. How do I know that the seven Yom Kippurim daraiti, the chiyuv to add time to Yom Kippur is biblical? The achle v'shachat shechashecha, and then plenty of people eat. Social cues here. The many people don't know this. Many people eat until what? Until Yom Kippur. They think, Yom Kippur starts at 6:09. They think they can eat till 6:09. No, midaraita, they have to stop earlier. And we don't tell them. So you see that even by daraita, this is true. Now, once you say that, we got to figure out why. How does this work with education? How does it work with everything we just said? Right? I know what you wanted to do, but you were stopping me.